Hi, guys. All right. So today, I think we're not going to meet next week. Next week is Tanis Esther.
Yeah. Oh.
It's Tanis Esther Erev Purim. So I feel like, I was like, maybe we can, I'm not sure. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, I think that's not going to work. So I think we're not going to meet next week. So I figured, it's already Parshas Zachar anyways, it's Shabbos. So I thought we would, we'll do a little Purim. And if you're going to learn a little Purim, you have to learn a little bit of Pachad Yitzchak. If you've never learned Pachad Yitzchak before, that's totally okay. I'm going to introduce you a little bit to Pachad Yitzchak. Pachad Yitzchak is a sefer. One of the things that's like a bummer about being a rabbi is that even though you have this special opportunity to continually prepare shiurim and give shiurim and makes you like forces you to learn, like a lot of times like you have to like prepare quickly and you don't have time to like sit. Pachad Yitzchak is a sefer written by Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner, who was Rosh Shiva in Shiva's Chaim Berlin. And it's a very unique sefer, and this is just one volume. This is the volume on Purim, which is like the, I don't know, like Pachad Yitzchak on steroids is Purim Pachad Yitzchak. And combines, he has a very unique background with Huttner. So he combines, like, when he would give shiurim, he would like, it was like a Rebbe giving it, like, having a tit, like giving over a mimer at a tish, and also like a Talmud Chacham giving over like a sugya. Like, both things at the same time. And like, so these very unique pieces, but they're dense, and it's not so easy to do. So we're gonna, don't worry, we're gonna make it not dense. But the Torahs of Pachad Yitzchak are very meaningful. My point is that it's like I always have time to like sit and learn Pachad Yitzchak. It's like it's very dense, it takes a long time. But the Pachad Yitzchak on Purim are so meaningful, and a lot of them I had this to learn. I first learned Pachad Yitzchak in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Waxman, who was the dean, was then the Mashgiach in Shalvim. Very close connection to Pachad Yitzchak. He had a shiur every week in Pachad Yitzchak. I didn't know what he was talking about then. And like as I got older, like appreciated it more, you know. His name is Rav Yitzchak Huttner.
Right. Yeah. But what is the catchphrase? Like what? Like meaning what?
Pachad Yitzchak?
I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
I don't know. I don't know why he called it Pachad Yitzchak. That's a good question. But that was his name, Rav Yitzchak Huttner. So that's why he, you know, so let's, I don't know why he chose that title. But what we'll do is an opportunity to kind of look at a section of the Megillah that you probably are familiar with. It's not an unfamiliar section of the Megillah, but maybe look at it in a specific way. Mine looks different. Okay, mine does. Yeah, I always look at this different. That's actually a good point. Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. So what happens in the Megillah? And part of this, to be honest, is that I have like one of the challenges of Purim is that I find that people, when we don't think about it carefully, we think of Purim as a kid's holiday. I've already said this before. We think Purim is like kids dress up, they have fun, take them Mishalach Manis, and then like we kind of like, I guess we're here in the Megillah or whatever. And like or we give Matanos HaVyonim, we do the mitzvos, but like we don't find a lot of meaning a lot of times in Purim. And it's too bad because Purim is one of the days that has, it's because of what the day of Purim is all about, that it's hard to find sometimes the meaning in Purim, but when we find it, it's incredibly deep and spiritual and meaningful. And I think that's why I'm glad that we're taking a day to like really look at one piece of the Megillah and to uncover at least one piece to why Purim is a very, very special day and a very meaningful day. And we'll talk specifically today about the power of tefillah on Purim, and because we should take advantage of it. We should take advantage of it, and we'll talk about it more as we move along. Fine. So what happens? So we know that Haman makes a decree to destroy all of Am Yisrael. He's going to kill every Jew in the 127 provinces of Ahasuerus. And it happens to be that Esther's already in place, right? When this happens, just happens to be, right? And she's ready. And what happens? Mordechai hears what's happening. He tears his clothes. He's sad, etc. And at that point, Esther actually hasn't even heard yet. And she's like, what's going on? Right? Why is everybody crying? What's happening? And Mordechai sends a message to her, right? Telling her, like, you know, this is what's going on. And she basically sends clothing to Mordechai, basically getting him to change back out of his sackcloth. Like, stop it. Don't act so crazy. And Mordechai's like, no. You don't understand. This is bad. And this is why you're here. Right? This is why you're in this spot. We've been wondering all this time, right? What you were placed here for. And now we figured it out. And he says to her something so sharp and so like really strong.
Direct.
Very direct. But look what he says to her. Okay? Pasuk Yud Gimel there, right? Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Gimel. And this is the turning point of the Megillah. Right? And what does he say to her? Vayor Mordechai Hashiva al Esther. And Mordechai says to Esther, Al tidami benaf sheikh li malate beis hamelech mikola yudim. Don't think that you are going to lihimalate. Lihimalate means you're going to run away. You're somehow going to hide. Right? That you're going to hide in the Beis HaMelech. You're going to hide in the palace from all the other Jews. Like, don't think, Esther, that all of us are going to get killed. Right? All of us are going to be in trouble. And you're going to sit in the palace all by yourself and you're going to be fine. Ki ma'charesh tacharishi ba'is hazos. If you are quiet, ha'charesh tacharishi, double language, right? If you stay so quiet now, and this moment, Revach v'hatzalah yamod la'yehudim makom acher. Fascinating sentence to say. We're going to be fine. Right? There will be salvation will come to the Jewish people from some other place. Okay? Va'atu beis avich tovedu. And you and your father's house will be destroyed. Okay? Look, if you were Mordechai, what would you have said to Esther?
Try to help out,
or if you don't help,
something bad could happen to you.
Something's gonna happen to us. Right. We need you, Esther. That's what he says, we actually don't need you at all. Fold, right? Why? Because he has emunah, right? The Baal Shalom's not gonna die. All the armies are not gonna be destroyed. We know that, right? So don't. We'll be fine in the end. In the long run, we'll be fine, right? And you're gonna be the one to lose out. You'll get lost. And then he says, "Umi yodei," and who knows? Im la'eis kazos he got the machus. If this is the reason that you became the malka, right? Which is such a, like, I think we think about this all the time, right? This moment in our life when we wanted things to go one way, and they went another way, and we were so disappointed, right? And then we find out later, like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad it didn't go. That would have been terrible for me, right? This is so much better, or whatever it is, right? Who knows if, like, right, at that moment. You don't know what's happening. But then later on, you realize, like, whoa, that's why that was so helpful that it happened to me, right? So he says there, like, remember Esther when we were like, why in the world are you being taken to the palace to become the queen? This is the most horrible thing that could ever happen to you. Right? Whether we assume that Mordechai and Esther are married or not married, right? Regardless, it was a horrible thing for her to be taken to Ahasuerus. She was this horrible, she's taken to be forced to be married to this person, right? But who knows? Maybe this is it, right? Okay, so what happened? And what happens at that moment? So Esther says to Mordechai, "Okay, fine. Leich kenos is kol Yehudim hanim saim b'Shushan. Go and collect, gather all the Jews in Shushan. Vitzumu alai and fast alai.
For me.
Okay, let's back up. Why was Esther refusing to go to the king at this point?
Because she wasn't summoned, and that's. Dangerous.
Because she wasn't summoned, right? Everybody knows the rule that you don't go to the king without being summoned. Right? You can't just go on your own, right? Everybody knows that, right? Everybody knows that, she said, right? Right? There's such a rule. So she said, I can't go because if I go and I'm not summoned, he'll just kill me right then. So what did she say? So she says, so fine, get everyone together, fast for me, okay? V'atochlu v'atishtu shol shesh yamim lan l'vayom. Don't eat and drink 3 days, day and night. Gamani v'narasai atzum kain, and me and my chevra, whatever, yeah, we'll do the same thing. Her narasai, they probably weren't Jewish, right? I don't know. Okay, fine. They fasted too. Uvechein avo al hamelach asher lo kadas, and with that all in place, I will go to the king asher lo kadas, which is against the law.
Yeah.
Lo kadas. I'll go against the rules. V'kasher avadati. And if I'm lost. Meaning, so be it. And if it doesn't work, and you enjoy everything we did, and I get killed,
right?
Okay, that was my job to give it a shot. Ve'avor Mordechai v'yas kechol asher tzivasa lavas Esther, and Mordechai says, great, and he does exactly what Esther said to do. Okay, so I already pointed out the problem, right? Which is that one problem, right? That he says to her, like, shouldn't he say, you know,
please help us,
right. Instead of like, we don't really need you. Kind of funny thing to say. Anything else about this back and forth that bothers you?
It's almost like Mordecai is saying, you just want to be safe yourself and you don't care that everyone else gets killed. Like, I don't think that's what she was trying to express. She was just saying it's fruitless, like, I think, when she said... But, she wasn't saying, I'm not going to risk my life for the Jewish people. She was just saying, like, if I go there, he's just going to kill me. Anyway.
But she's not like, I don't care about you guys. Right. Yeah, she right. didn't say, like, what do you mean? I hate those Jews. Right. That's not what's going on here. She's just, like, trying to navigate this the right way. And he's like, if you're going to stay silent. Sorry. If you're going to stay silent. Because I'm getting to Mordecai. Right? And, like, what's going to happen? Right? It seems like a very
harsh
response to a rather reasonable argument, which was, maybe let me wait. Like, maybe he'll call me. Right? By the way, when is the Gezerah on Am Yisrael, the time that they realize when this is going to happen? When does it happen? It happens in the month of Nisan, actually. Right? It was in Nisan that the that Haman, like, you know, cast the lots. And it's not going to happen until
11 months later
in Adar. There's plenty of time for the king to call her. Right? I think he likes her. Right? He's probably going to call her sometime between now and then, right? It's a reasonable argument. And Mordecai, like, goes crazy on her. Okay, good. What else?
Well, also, there's a turning point, right? So not just we thought that what Mordecai saying to her is a little bit off, but maybe, like, her reaction's a little bit off. Like, all of a sudden, she goes, okay, the kasher abadati abadati. Like, now she's willing to completely self-sacrifice.
It's a very quick flip.
Right.
Right. Remember, by the way, they're not talking to each other. They're sent... They're sending, they're like writing letters, you know? but yes, it's still like a pretty quick flip. She's like, okay, fine, I'll do it. I'll risk my whole life. If I die, it's fine.
Right.
Like, well, that was pretty fast. Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Anything else? It's one of the things I think is interesting. She says about it. She says to him, gather all the Jews of Shushan. Right? Get that. That makes sense. Get everyone together. Fine. Vitsum olai and fast for?
Me.
Who should they fast for?
Themselves.
All of us. I don't know. Everyone should be fasting for everybody. Like, meaning, fast. You should fast. Why are you fasting? Do tshuva. Everybody should be fasting on their own to do tshuva. Right? With sumo alai, you fast for me?
Right.
It's very nice, but it's a little funny. Right? Like, everyone fasts for Esther. It's like kind of like a funny, right? It's kind of a funny concept, but we're going to, don't worry. We're going to make it nice. We'll make it nice.
And then she goes, okay, and also I'll fast.
Vigamad even our atzum kain. And by the way, what's atzum kain? Who should get a fast for?
Herself
also?
Right.
Right. So we're all fasting for Esther. It's interesting,
but maybe,
right?
She just doesn't feel worthy. She's saying, like, you're putting your hopes in me right now, and I'm willing to stand up for B'nai Israel, but I'm not worthy to be your savior. Who am I?
I'm just some regular person.
Right.
Yeah.
That Hashem should give me the zuchot to save all of B'nai Israel. So that's why maybe she's saying,
I need help. I need chizik.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Good.
Yeah, I think
I like
it's
that.
A modesty that she's so
and not
modest.
Probably not false modesty. She doesn't know yet. She doesn't know yet that she's Esther Amelka.
Correct.
She doesn't know who she is. She doesn't know every little girl in the whole world is going to dress up like her for years, right? She doesn't know who she's going to be, right? No, it's true. Every person is just a person until they step up and become a hero, right? You're not a hero until you're a hero, right? Mm-hmm. So, good. Okay, so let's see if we can answer some of these questions. Let's look at Rashi, source number 2. Rashi says, "Atadami ben Afsheikh." Right? Don't like look at it just for yourself. Al teicha shvi kamo vayak hasher dimisi. Al tadami benafsheich. Al tihi sevura li himalei b'yom ha'hariga. But basically, don't think you're gonna sit in the palace when they're out to kill all of us. Shein at rotsa l'sakein atzvecha. You don't want to endanger yourself. Achshav ala safek lavo l'melach shalol birshus. Right? Meaning. You, what do you say? Like, I can't go now because, like, I don't know what's going to happen. I might die. You might die. Everyone else is for sure going to die on a different day. So, like, don't think you're going to sit. Fine. That's what Rashi puts out. Fine. But let's take a look at verse number 3. Verse number 3 is Or Chadash, is the parish of the Maharal of Prague on the Megillah. And he says like this. Vayomer Mordechai la'ashiv el Esther. V'yesh shoalin. Some ask. V'chi Mordechai ha'achoshe Esther shaloti amuser nafsha alama. He asked exactly the question you asked him. He's like, what? Mordechai thought that Esther wasn't willing to do that? He knew what kind of person she was. By the way, she did it in the end. Right? So clearly, like, there was that in her. He had this assumption that she had no interest in helping. Vinyiren, he says. So it seems, ki kasher ra'a Mordechai kasher Esther lo kibla miyad When he saw that Esther didn't accept to do it immediately, the first time he said it to her, he's like, she's like, I don't know, I'm not allowed to go yet, right? And he had to like say more. So he said, oh, for sure Esther's like relying on this. What? Kevan sheyesh zman harbei min yirgimo nisan ad adar, right? What's she relying on? The time. There's plus time. Mordechai, relax. There's plenty of time. Right? What am I rushing into the king under suffix penalty of death when I have 11 months for him to call me? It's a very reasonable argument, and that's what she's saying. Right? She doesn't have to violate the king's laws. You have to get killed if you come to the king without permission. So why should I go? Right? And that's what was bothering Esther. Right? So Mordechai didn't think she didn't want to go at all. He just thought she was going to delay. And the question is, so what? So what did she want to delay? Okay, and this is where Futner steps in with a really, really beautiful, beautiful idea. Source number 4. Pachi Yitzchak. Says with Futner as follows. And I'm going to read, I'll read and translate this whole little piece here. He writes as follows. Al tirami ben avshech liyamale. Okay? Hadvarim nishmaim kichashad michoar. It's a mochar means ugly, right? Like this ugly, what's chashad? Chashad is like suspicion, like this ugly suspicion. Al Esther Hamalka, right? Like again, like what's going on here? Mordechai like attacking Esther. What's so like, yuck? Chashad kezehu mina nimna. Who? Come on, who would act like that to Esther Hamalka? Ella, shemahalacha inyan kahu. What's this really about? It's this following. It says the following. And this is an idea we've heard probably before, but he takes a different approach to it. Hamispala bar chaverov hu tzarech la'osa davar hu nan et achila. Right? This is the number one, it's not number one skula because it takes work to do, but it's a skula that we hear about, and it comes from a Rashi by Avram Avinu, that what happens, a person, right, we know this concept probably, if a person needs something, right? And you know someone else needs the same thing. So I need something and someone else needs that same thing. So what do?
You pray on behalf of
Daven for them, and I'll be answered first. Right. And I'll be answered first, right? There are actually organizations that will match up people right. with the same problem. You have a financial problem, you have a shidduch problem, you have a refuah problem, you have a whatever it is, chinuch problem, whatever it is, will connect you to someone with the same thing and you'll daven for each other. It's actually very beautiful. It's like incredibly beautiful. It's incredibly beautiful. Okay, but fine. But that's the idea, right? Generally, if I daven for someone, if I daven for you and you daven for me, we need the same thing. So I'll be answered first, and you'll be answered first. Whatever. Why? But I never really heard. It makes sense to us in the sense that it's so super nice, right? But like, we need more than super nice, right? What is that? What is it about? B'pnei yesh omek tahom. There's a cavernous distance. Hamavdil ben tefila stam le tefila shel lev nishbar. The tefila of a person who just davens and a tefila of a person who has a broken heart. V'yodim anu mipiem shel chachamim es adifus koach ha-tefila ha-genuza b'madrega shel lev nishbar. And Chazal tell us all the time about the value and how much greater and how much adifus means preferred, right? Is the power of a tefillah that is like genuza? It's like treasured, right? On a unique level, when the person who's davening has a broken heart, it's just broken, is sebrachin from whatever tzara they're going through, right? The best example in the world of tefillah, right, is Chana, who is like mamish broken person, right? The type of the power for tefillah is different than a stam shmona esrei, right? It's more than that. Okay. Va'osa adam atzarech la'osa davar. And a person who's davening for you, right? And they need the same thing. V'libo nishbar bikirbo. And he or she has their own broken heart. Mitoch bakashat ha'yeshua. Because they need that salvation. They need that help. Harayesh biyado kinyan shel koach tefila niskav. They have a more powerful level of tefila. So the point being, right, when a person's davening for somebody else and they have the same tzara, so they understand the pain of that other person in a unique way. So that person is davening for somebody else who can't have a child or is in a desperate financial situation or having trouble with their children or whatever it is they're having. Someone's incredibly sick, right? And that person is in the same place and they daven for each other. The tefillos are on like this like supersonic level, right? V'oso adam mispalel b'kocho zeh l'tovas chavero. And then you take that supersonic power, that incredible power of tefillah, and you daven, and you use it for somebody else. Harehu lokeach es kinyano zeh u'minadev osa l'chaver. What do you do? That power of alev nishbar, a person who's feeling so, so broken and turns to Ribbono Shalom, has an incredible power. And then what do they do with it? They don't use it for themselves. They give it to somebody else. That's an incredible gift that you've given to somebody else. You took your koach ha-tefillah, which is so much more powerful than a normal tefillah, and instead of using it for yourself, you hand it off to another person in the same situation. Ha-mispala ba'al chaver v'utzarech lo'os ha-davar. Right? That's what it means to be a mispala ba'al chaver. It means the same thing. Klomar hu minadev l'chavero es koach ha-tefillah ha-ganuz b'yisurin shalo. You take... You give somebody else the power of davening that is, again, treasured because of, unfortunately, the pain, the experience, the painful experience this person has had. B'vaday shemin adin hu shelo yafsides ha-zechus ha-gadola shel ba'al yisurin asher b'nedivas levavo nasan zechus zu l'chavero. It's like gotta be. It has to be. Min adin, it has to be. That person will not lose out on that tremendous opportunity, right, of this person who hands that zechus to their friend. You give that to somebody else, but Moshe says, then you get the zechus, right? It raises the question, right? So if you, so ever you know this is gula, and you do it as a as a shtick, so then, okay, so maybe it doesn't work the same way, right? But if I do it and I mean it, right, I do it and I mean it, so why you answer first? The answer is because you've handed over such a powerful koach to somebody else who needs it so badly, right? Okay, so what was it? So that's beautiful. Fine, we just learned that. It's enough, right? Amazing pshat and what it means, the beauty of davening for another person, why that impacts the davener. Okay, but now bring this back to Esther and Mordechai. V'zeu pesher davar ha'harosh shel Mordechai. I said this is what Mordechai is telling Esther.
What's pesher?
The explanation, sort of like the explanation of the thing, what exactly that Mordechai is telling Esther. Okay, what's he saying to her? Al tidami b'nafsheich li'malei. Don't think you're going to escape. Klomar, what does he mean to say? Tvilateich al Knesset Yisrael. If you want to daven on behalf of Am Yisrael, right? And Esther, you want it to work. What are you going to have to do? Tavodafka mitoch hahakara shagam at tzricha la'oso davar. You're davening on behalf of Am Yisrael. Your action on their behalf is only going to work if you feel like you're in the same place that they're in. Meaning, va'af apichein kavanasa shel tatfila tiyeh rak l'tovas Yisrael. And you're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it for somebody else. Right? So what's going to happen? She's going to go. She said, I'll go when he calls me. I'll go when he calls me. And he says no.
Power in her tefillah.
Why not?
Because her life isn't at risk. So, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right? He says to her, Esther, you have to go now. You have to go when it's against the law. You have to go when your life is in the balance. Why? Because if you go when you're like, you might say, it's not really responsible. I put my life in danger, right? The answer is, in this case, this unique moment in history, it's only if you go when your life is in the balance that your tefillah on behalf of Klal Yisrael will have that impact, right? Will have that impact to be successful because you will also be, right, in that place. And you're going to give that koach to Am Yisrael, not to yourself. Powerful, huh?
And then it makes sense to follow that she's going to ask Bnei Yisrael.
So what did she say? Very good, very good, very good, very good.
It all
goes, right? It's amazing. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Chalilacha, he says. How could you give that up, Esther? The power of davening for somebody else, when you need the same thing, is so powerful. You do not wait until Achashverosh calls you and you're relaxed and you're fine and nothing's going to happen to you and you're safe. Then forget it. It's not going to work. V'rak mitoch lev nishbar shal tzarech la'osa davar. Only if you have that same broken heart of needing the same thing, and you're going to hand over to somebody else that power of a tefila of a lev nishbar, then your tefila will go on behalf of Am Yisrael. And therefore, do not wait, and do not think you will be saved. So what is so now? What is the language of Mordechai? It makes more sense. Al tidami b'nafsheich limaleit. Right? Don't think. Don't wait until you are safe. Right? Don't think you'll be safe and everyone else is going to be fine. Everyone else is going to get destroyed. Meaning, don't put yourself in a place where you feel like you're fine and everyone else is nervous. Because if you're fine and everyone else is nervous, your tefillah won't work. It's not gonna have that same power.
Okay.
Right? Tefillahs work. Right? But it's not gonna have the same power. Okay? Pretty good, right? That's pretty good.
Love it so far.
Okay? Very good. And by the way, that's the same thing. That's the actual source of this idea of Hamispal Bal Chaver Mutzarech Lo'osadav. This whole idea comes from where? It's Sarah and Avraham are in the house of Avimelech. Right? Avimelech takes Sarah and she says, my sister, etc. And Avimelech takes her. And then what happens? Hashem closes up every person of Avimelech's house. No one's able to have children, basically. And so what happens? So Avram davens on behalf of the base of Avimelech. Everyone else is able now to have children. And then what happens afterwards? Immediately afterwards, at the very next pasuk, Vashem pakada Sarah kasher amar. Immediately Sarah has becomes pregnant. So why is that? Because Avram and Sarah knew what it meant to feel that lev nishbar. They have that broken heart their whole life. They had a lev nishbar. They knew what they know what this means. So Avram davens on behalf of Avimelech and everyone in his family and his house, whatever. At that moment, right, his tefillah, in that case, it comes through because again, Avram has that sense of lev nishbar. He knows exactly what it feels like. He knows what it's like. Okay. So how does Esther respond? What does Esther say? Fine. Get everyone together. Tsumu alai. Right? It makes perfect sense now. Daven for me. And by the way, and then she says, Vaniva Narasai, Tsum Cain. We'll do the same thing. What are we going to do? Who are we davening for? Everybody else. Right? You daven for me and I'll daven for you. You fast for me, I'll fast for you. It's amazing. It's beautiful, right? It's beautiful. But I'll show you one other piece, which I think is so, so amazing. I actually said this in Rosh Hashanah a lot of years ago, I think. It's one of my favorite. I heard this idea first from, I think Moshe Weinberger pointed this out, but it comes from someone else. When we stand on Rosh Hashanah throughout Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? So there's this piece of the Shemona Esrei. Every Shemona Esrei on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur has an added section in the Atah Kadosh, right? The element of Kiddusha, right? That Baruch Atah Hashem, which usually just like Baruch Atah Hashem HaKel HaKadosh, we end with a Melech Kadosh, has a whole much longer section, right? And they're called sometimes the Uvechains, right? Uvechain Tein Pachtecha Hashem HaKadosh, da 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 da, right? And you have Vechain and Vechain and Vechain, and everyone in between we have to, fine, but there's all these Uvechains, right? Why the language of Uvechain? Uvechain, Uvechain, and that Uvechain just means, and therefore, and therefore, and therefore. Where does that word come from? So the Vujaham says, I'll tell you exactly where it comes from. Go back to your first page. Who says Uvechein? What does Esther say when she responds to Mordechai? Go and fast for me, you fast for me, I'll fast for you, etc. And what you do? Uvechein avo el melech asher lo kadas. And I'm going to go to the king without permission, even though I don't belong. Even though I think I'm not right. Even though I think I'm not supposed to come, I don't belong there. I'm going to come without permission. Okay? So Avraham says, the uvachains of Esther are then taken by Klal Yisrael later on, and we add them into the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah Mikvah, a time when we ask to come before the Melech. Right? Asher lo kadosh, we feel a little bit like we're, right? We don't belong, right? We don't belong, right? And says Avraham, that's exactly what happens in Rosh Hashanah Kippur. And that's why we steal the line, uvachain, we borrow it from Esther, and we say about ourselves, uvachain, we're going to go, and we're going to come in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though we feel like we don't belong, right? And what goes even further? So when Mordechai asks Esther, what does she respond, right? What does she say? I can only go if what? Leich kenos that's called Yehudim and Mitzayim B'shushan, B'tzumolai. Right? I'm only going to go in if you, right, gather everybody together. You fast for me. I'll fast for you. What was it that Haman said about us? Right? What was the thing that Haman said about the Jewish people that is so bad about us and the reason why they can get us? Because he says, Yeshno am echad mefuzar mefur ben amim. Right? There's this nation that is spread out amongst the nations. So the simple pshat means that we're spread around. Right? Chazal and the Gemara say, what does he mean? Mufuzer mufur ben amim is this nation that is fighting with each other. This nation doesn't get along. Right? And when they don't get along, so then their father is not so happy with them. So what does he tell them to do? Leich kenos kol Yehudim. Get everyone together. Get everyone together. What are we going to do? Not only are we going to get along, we're going to fast for each other. We're going to daven for each other. And when we do all of that, what's going to happen? Uvechein avol ha-melech shalok atas. And then we can walk inside. Right, now the Ribbono Shel Olam is interested to talk to us. Right, because we've got gathered ourselves together, we know who we are, and now we have this ability to daven for each other. Right? And we each feel this sense of Lev Nishbar, right? This sense of like, holy cow, what's going to happen to us? And I care so much more one for the other. Boom. Now all of a sudden that tefillah has, nothing's guaranteed. For the klal is guaranteed. But for the individual, it's not guaranteed. But that we have this power, this koach ha-tefillah that could have this type of power. Okay. And the truth is, take it even further, we have this DNA of the power of tefillah for somebody else, right? And how that tefillah for somebody else has repercussions for generations from Esther's great, 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 great grandmother, who is Rachel Imenu. Esther is from the tribe of Binyamin, right? Whose mother is Rachel. And with all the things about Rachel that are challenging in the Torah at times, there's one moment in her life, right, where she comes through, right, where she comes through in a way that is extraordinarily unusual, right? Says the Gemara in Megillah, source number 6, Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Gemara says like this: B'schar tzniyas shehaseh ba b'Rachel zochsa v'yatsa mimenu Shaul. It's because of the tzniyas that Rachel had in herself that she was able to be zocha to have Shaul Hamelech, who becomes her great 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 grandson. U'b'schar tzniyas shehaseh bo Shaul zochsa v'yatsa mimenu Esther. And because Shaul had a certain element of modesty, so he ends up having Esther. What was the tznius of Rachel? Dichsiv aygid Yaakov l'Rachel ki achi aviyahu v'chi achi aviyahu, right? V'alo ben achos aviyahu ela amar la min sabali. He says meaning that when they arrive, right? When Yaakov arrives, so they talk to each other and they realize that they're cousins basically, right? And basically what happens is he says to her, min sabali, you marry me? So amar le in. She says sure. Miu. There's only one problem. Abba Ramahu, my father is a trickster, right? V'lo yechatle, and he's not going to let me marry you. Amrle says to her, Achivan Abba Ramahus, I'm his brother in trickery. I'll figure out what to do. Amrle, she says to him, you're a tzaddik, a tzaddik can trick. Okay, we talked about that a lot, right? Tzaddikim can trick people. Amrle, in Im avar im navor titaber vi mekish titaber, as a pasuk in Tehillim, I think. It says that, you know, that if you're stuck with crooked people, sometimes you have to act crooked. Okay. So Amrala, so he says to her, Umayra mi Yusuf, what's his trickery? Amrala, is le achsa de kashisha minai. I have a sister who's older than me. Vela mensiv li mekaman. She's not married yet. Masala simonim, so no problem. He handed her, that they made some type of system that they would be able to, you know the story. Right, they're able to know who's who. Kimata lele, when the night came, Amra hashta michsefach, and then so they had it all set up, ready to make it work. They were ready for Lavan. They knew it was going to happen. And they had a system whereby they were going to make sure to communicate and know who's who. And she realizes at that moment, Hashta michsafa achsa. Yeah, but what's going to happen? She's going to put my sister there and she's not going to know the answers. And she's going to be embarrassed. Masartinu niyala. Imagine that moment when she, forget the question, like how in the world that like he didn't know who she was. They must have like barely hung out ever. I don't know. But that moment when she hands over the simanim, she knows he's going to be furious at her. Right? The whole thing is a disaster for her. Forever, for the rest of her whole life. Right? And look at the mysterious nefesh where she hands over to her sister the simanim, so she shouldn't be embarrassed. And he woke up and said, holy cow, it's Leah. What do you mean? He didn't know it was Leah? Ela bitoch simanin shemasra Rachel Leah lohava yada ad hashta. Right, until because of the simanim that she gave her to her sister, right, he didn't realize until then. Lefichach zachsa v'yatsa mimene Shaul, and that's the reason why she's able to eventually have a grandson Shaul HaMelech, who eventually becomes the father, grandfather of Esther HaMelech. Right, it's a person who has the power inside themselves to do something for somebody else, right? That now leads to a person who ends up doing something incredible for somebody else, right? For all of Klal Yisrael. And of course, Pasuk 7, source number 7, Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that we know that Kol B'Rama Nishma, no one else is going to listen to anybody's cry. Whose cry is listened to? Listen to the cry of Rachel. Why is listen to the cry of Rachel? Because Rachel was a person who gave up herself for somebody else. She gave up herself. Okay. So all that brings us to what? It brings us to Purim, right? Purim is a day, right? Tanis Esther's day. We should give this year on Tanis Esther, but we can't find. So this will be, they'll think about this on Tanis Esther, right? That Purim is a day that has, if this is what Purim is all about, in a certain sense, the whole story in the end is about the koach of one Jew to daven and to fast for another Jew, and the koach of the other Jew to daven and fast for the other Jew. It's a Yom Tiv of Leich Kenosis Kol Yehudim. Right, it's a tefillah. It's a day where we show just how much we care for each other, and no one asks any information about how much we like each other, or what we look like, or what our level of observance is, or Ashkafa, or whatever it is. No one cares. We just daven for each other, right? That was what turned the disaster of Purim into the Nitzachon of Purim. That's what brought the Ribono Shel Olam from being away and a Kel Mistater who you can't see and you can't find him and he's nowhere to all of a sudden in a certain sense coming out in the open, right? He flips the entire story on its head to like, holy cow, of course the Ribono Shel Olam is there. I thought I couldn't find him. I thought he's not around, right? Because not surprising, what happens when the kids get along, right? Abba shows up again, right? It's a different Gemara, right? It says that when Yeshno Amecha Mufuzer before Ben Amim, Yeshno, that means there is. There's a nation. So the Gemara says Yeshna means that Haman said to Achashverosh, you can go get them now. Why? Because Yeshen them in the mitzvahs, they're sleeping. Right? And what happens? When Esther tells Mordechai, get everyone together, let's go. Time to daven. Time to fast. What happens? The next part of the story. Balayla ahu, nadadash nasa melech. That night, what happens? All of a sudden, the melech can't sleep. Okay, Achashverosh can't sleep, but who really can't sleep? The Ribono Shel Olam can't sleep. Because when we stand up for each other, all of a sudden the Ribono Shel Olam can't sleep anymore. And he stands up for us. Okay?
It almost seems like, because you can daven for yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, we have Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, you know, sometimes daven. You know, I'm saying people daven for themselves, and it seems that sometimes that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will answer your prayer.
It's always okay.
It almost seems like when it's for others, that's when the supernatural. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you just said
that's
that.
No, but that's exactly the point. That's
supernatural.
This, the right. The power, the koach hatfila on Purim.
Oh, you said that already? I'm sorry.
No.
But it emanates.
It's fine. Okay, Baruch Hashem. See, as we're done. But absolutely correct. So take a look right now. Source number 8. Source number 8 is a sefer called Kuntris Binyani Yimei Purim. And he writes in the sefer, this is not from Rufner, and he says the following. Mekubo mipi gedolei olam, source number 8. It's accepted. It's been heard from great people. the segula bepurim, it's a great segula. What's the segula? So the segula is not going to be like to hop on one leg or to tie a string on something or to do something easy. It's not an easy thing. Segula bepurim lahashkin baboker, to get up early in the morning with a harbos betfila. A special school on Purim to daven. It's hard. Purim is a hard day. Purim is a busy day. Purim is they were running around. Purim is they were up late at night first. And it's hard. And like, I'm telling you, it's like, it's mamish, it's the Yetzirah that makes us crazy running around like maniacs. So we forget about what the day of Purim is all about. Like, chalila, we should daven like a mensch on Purim. Of all the days of the year, the day that's hardest to daven is probably Purim. Right? And what is the power, the koach hatfila on Purim is unlike most other days. Hey na b'nei chayai, when I daven for your family, umizonai, for your parnasa, v'hein al shar dvarim, on anything. Val kol krovav, val kol am Yisrael, to daven for your family, to daven for all of Klal Yisrael. Uke'ein yom ha-kipurim, shu yom tfila, kach purim, hu yom eis ratzon ma'od. This is not a small thing to say. Right, this is written in the Sefer Skulos Yisrael. I don't know who wrote it. Right, but that just like, right, we call it Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim. And we like laugh, it's funny, it's cute, Yom Kippurim. No, it's not a joke. Yom Kippurim. That Yom Kippur is like Purim. Because the Koach HaTfilah on Purim is so powerful that we hope and we mimic it on Yom Kippur. Uvechein, uvechein, uvechein. We mimic it on Yom Kippur. We try to steal the power of Purim. And bring it to Yom Kippur, because the day of Purim is such a powerful day of tefillah. Okay? Ubesefer divri yecheskel, binyani Purim kasav, bepurim kol asher yivakshi yisrael me'ashem yisparach, tukubat tefillasam, akan lashono, I don't know what to say. Everything we ask on Purim, Hashem accepts it. Doesn't mean it gives us exactly the answers that we want. But he accepts everything we ask for. Okay? Ubesefer Torahs MS binyani Purim kasav de bepurim huzman besugal shiachonai de tefila liyivashabo gam kein bezeres shal kayama, daven for your children to be for whatever you like, right? And that's why there are people who have minog to say all of Sefer Tehillim on Purim, etc. You know what I mean? To go crazy, we should make time on Purim to daven like a mensch. Purim is not the day to skip on davening. Purim is the day to be makbid. I'm going to make sure I daven like a mensch. Oh, sorry. We're over time. I'm so sorry. Okay. We're going to stop. To the extent that the Chassam Sofer writes is halach when it comes to tzedakah on Purim, that kol poshet yado yinasein lo. The halach on Purim is you usually have to like ask for tuda, you want to check out. On Purim, you don't ask anybody. So he says that's not just true about aniyim and us. It's true about Am Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol poshet yad. Anybody put your hand out? Bo'ashalom. Listens to you. Okay? I can't. I'm not promising every single tweet he said probably gets, Hashem does what we want. It's impossible. You know, it's not true. But there's a power on this day to daven that is unlike any other day. Yes, to daven for somebody else. Certainly somebody else who needs the same thing that you need. But it's a day in general where we see the koach hatfilah. So I'm giving chizuk to myself, to all of us. On the day of Purim, make time to daven. Before the day gets away from you. In the morning, early in the morning, get up a little early, daven like a mensch, and daven a powerful tefillah. One, at least, for the day. And that way, we remind ourselves that Purim is not a day for kids and costumes, it's that also. But it's a day, it's a powerful day to connect the Klal Yisrael through our tefillos, to connect the Yibon Shalom through our tefillos, and in that way, hopefully, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer all of our tefillos for all the things that we need. And Mirat Hashem should find ourselves in the days of real Purim, the day of Mashiach. Okay.